Hey, thank you for joining us on the first, the return of Vaping and Venting. My name's Kermit Lowry, of course. Many of you guys know me. And on the show today, we have Sam Oshlin, who owns Old School Vapor and Sac Wholesale, his newest venture. How are you doing today, Sam?
I'm good, Kermit. How are you?
Good, man. We've, of course, known each other for a couple years. I was the annoying point of sale guy following up with you all the time. And then, we've grown into to become friends and work together as well. So glad to have you on here. When I was thinking about, revamping this, you were the first person I thought about having on, because I think the things you say and kind of how you run your stores and your businesses is how a lot of stores should be ran, especially if they want to be profitable and be able to grow into, kind of a leader in their area like you guys have been. So, getting into that, I guess tell us a little bit about how you got into this world. I mean, no one really intends to get into the vape world,
No.
right? But
So
yeah, tell us how that all happened.
in 2012, I started working for a store, actually, like where my first store is in that same town. And this was like way back in the day. Like all we had was like Inokin products, some like super old Kanger stuff, Clear Misers, house juice, grenade cool fire twos from Inokin, shit like that. VTRs, like people have
Was
been
that
in it forever.
2016, 2017, or
No, this was 2012.
2012? Okay.
And so I worked there for a while, and it was a struggle bus, and then it wasn't doing well. And then I got fired because I left the front door unlocked twice, which is completely understandable. Because I was riding my bike home from work, and so I would lock the front door and then walk out the back door because I didn't have a license and shit because I was an idiot. But I got fired from that, and then my dad was like, "Oh, we should start our own shit," and I was like, "Yeah, we should," and we did. We started a 600 square foot shop. It was Old School Vapor. We had like a counter, regular ass display, just flushed with Inokin products. And then on the back, we had like one long shelf where we had like Johnson e-liquid, or Johnson's Creek. This is a very old word. Space Jam and Caterpillar. And yeah, it just kind of. We did pretty good back then, especially in like the mech mod era. Like we were real big on like authentics. We were like douchey vape elitists. We was like, we don't use clones. We're super tight. And we did pretty well during that. And just as the industry evolved, sub tanks started coming out, and then bottles got bigger, more and more people jumped in. And we were riding pretty well for a while. And it's just kind of turned into this. We kind of went into more hybrid style, like the more smoke shop, dispensary slash vape shop slash cigars slash whatever the hell else we have.
Anything and everything.
Because people come in and ask for stuff, and like during like the height of Evoli, like when Evoli hit. Which is when like people started dying off like dank carts and shit because of whatever. I mean, supposedly vitamin E acetate or whatever, but I mean, we lost 60% of our business overnight. Like literally went from, $1,500 a day, which was, pretty all right back then, to like 300. And like we had two shops at this point. And at that point it was me, my dad, and my brother, and then a few other employees. We were running like one person to a store or shit like that. Evoli hit, and it just sucked. And so then COVID kind of hit like right after that. And like right before COVID is when like the first hides came out, like the little tiny hides. They had that big ass 50 count display, so we hopped on that begrudgingly. Like I didn't want to do disposables. And then kind of around that same time, like we started selling D8. So this is like early 2019,
Yeah.
is when we got into like Delta products.
You got on the train right on the front end.
Yeah, we were mad early. Because one of my really good friends, he's good at shit like that. He was like a mega stoner, and he kind of stumbled upon it, started making gummies. And then he would just give me gummies in bulk. Then we started getting Hemp Doctor cartridges, and then from there we just had like this, insane explosion of products flooding the market that still continues to this day.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so through COVID, I mean, we just climbed and climbed and climbed and climbed and climbed, and it's still going. And we were
So,
able to open up, three more stores since then.
how
But
long did it
yeah,
take you to go from one store to two?
it was a long time from one store to two. I mean, because it was just strictly vape, and I was also pretty inexperienced. Like, I didn't really know what I was doing. This is like the only thing I've ever done. So, like, it's this, or I'm just like some dummy.
I didn't either when I started this, I have no idea what I'm doing with vaping and vending now, and I think I've got an idea with lifelong, but I mean, you got to fake it till you make it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty good at this, but like, I don't know, I guess some of these skills carry over into other industries. I don't know what those lives are like.
You never have to find out.
Because I think I was 20 when we started our store, or 21, something like that. I mean, I was young.
It's all you've known.
Yeah, but I did work at like a cash and carry before that, so I kind of. This was before vape existed, though. We just had Cigalikes back then. I ran the novelty department at a cash and carry, so we sold water pipes. So I did all that. Like, I had a showroom and stuff off Second Avenue in Nashville. It was called Vaughn's Cash and Carry Fab Wholesale. So I met a lot of like the local gas station convenience store guys from those days, and I've known them for like a long time now. But yeah, dude. I mean, it was back to your original question. It was probably 4 5 years before we opened an additional store, and th then Evoli hit, and it was like shit. That store started doing like $300 a day, and I was like, this is not great. So we were considering closing it, but
So you think
demand grew.
expanding the product line is what kind of helped you get
Yeah,
back up, or?
well, it's just like those two product types became available, and like, vaping's great, but like, some people just will not use this. They just will. They cannot be bothered to use this. Whereas like, these things come out like anyone can use this. It gets a whole nother sector of a market that was essentially unreachable with this. And
The one
so,
with
I
the
mean,
foils and all that.
yeah. And so, I mean, like, market share just, kind of expanded rapidly. And, we just always tried to do it right, take the stores real seriously, focus more on experience and, just quality stuff.
If you
And
ever
yeah.
go into Sam's stores, they're super clean. They look really nice.
Yeah, we keep it pretty tight.
Well merchandised. There's product everywhere. I mean, he uses almost every square foot for product, and
Yeah, my dad
really,
builds
really
all
clean.
these shelves. Like, we build all this stuff in house. I don't build anything. Like, I am not a good, like, man.
Me neither. I'm the tech
I
guy.
can sell stuff and buy stuff pretty good, but
Well, that's working out for you. So.
yeah, someone's got to do that part.
So then you got through COVID, you got through, you added these products, and then since then you're at five total locations. So you guys have opened, three other ones, and they're all kind of in the lower Nashville
I mean,
geographic area.
yeah, we're not, my stores aren't far at all. Like, I have one, like, how far is Columbia?
7 miles.
7 miles that way, and then I got
Yeah,
another store like 5 miles that way, and then
we passed it on the way in.
past that, 2.5 miles up, there's another one of our stores, and then We have one like, 20 minutes away up towards more towards Nashville. That one smacks. It's stupid.
And you think
Like,
just immersing that area with your stores, that your brand, just
yeah,
giving
and that
that
area is
experience.
just insane. And we got insanely lucky with our lease there too. Like, we got connected to a Kroger, which is like typically
Really
like
hard.
a spot with a
Off
Kroger
limits.
in it. You're just like, I'm not even gonna ask.
Yeah.
Because I mean, that's 100%. Oh no, Kroger has it in the lease. They don't want your dirty ass Tudor shop,
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, when I
So.
was looking for I've looked for leases for the right, we've talked about it, for the right area for a smoke shop around here, and I've looked at, there was a
It's
Kroger about
impossible.
5 minutes away from our office, and yeah, immediately no.
Especially, I mean, because we're just trying to open up some more shops within our general area, dude. And I mean, like, it's rough. It's not
That's the
even
hardest
worth
part,
trying
right?
right now for me. I
Yeah.
mean, and it's, I mean, the operation we got now is pretty big, and we're trying to get a hold on that, because I mean, it's gotten serious. And we don't want to like overextend ourselves. And plus, with all the industry, ins and outs, sky
What?
constantly falling from the sky, and
Yeah, what could be big tomorrow?
trying to see what's going to happen with the regulations here in Tennessee, which I'm also like a big part of. It's looking okay, I guess, depending on what your main source of income is. But I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah,
We're always
I get
down to
that.
open more stores. It's just like you can't find leases.
Yeah, I mean,
It's
I think
crazy.
that's the hardest part, is finding the right lease, because at the end of the day, it's all you're just replicating what you've done before. It's
Yep.
just signing that dotted line and getting through all that initial red
Our
tape.
third store, like the one up towards Nashville, like it took like 30 leases to get a yes.
Yeah, and I know
It
you don't
was
have time
insane.
for that right now.
Yeah, I don't do any of that. That's all pops. They probably won't take me seriously.
You're just the face. He's calling the shots. So now that you've got those five locations, you guys, I know over the past, what, maybe 9 months, 6, 9 months, have gotten SAC up and running.
Yeah, I've been doing mostly distro. I like purchase for the stores, and I do admin work, and I design flyers and all types of other shit, but I'm not really like in them anymore. You
Yeah.
got managers, that's kind of the point.
Exactly. Delegate.
But yeah, no, we've just been cranking wholesale here at the warehouse, and like that's been going crazy too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
Especially over the
sick.
last like 2 months, it's been like ridiculous.
And how are you guys getting your name out there? Is it just word of mouth? Is it?
I guess I have no
Do you
idea.
think people write and they come back to you?
I've went and driven around like twice, and like I literally can't leave the warehouse.
Just too busy, just call, phone ringing off the hook, just emailing
Yeah,
orders.
I mean that's pretty standard though. If people know you'll buy shit, like they're gonna call you.
Yeah, of
I
course.
don't do that. I don't blow people up. That just it'd make me feel I'd be bad at it too. I'd be so awkward. No one would buy anything from me with a cold call.
Well, I mean, you've got a great product selection, because what? You have everything from disposables to Delta to what all products are you carrying?
Let's
That's
see.
back.
Delta nicotine disposables. We do some e-liquid. We're kind of getting more into that. I need room though, which sucks because I don't have it.
You already filled out that warehouse?
Damn near, dude.
I remember a few months ago,
Sucks. It
six
just
months
got
ago, it
in
was
here. It was
kind of
empty.
empty. I
Yeah.
know. We were getting those shelving built and everything.
Oh no, it's. I mean, we're about to scooch everything back in together. But yeah, man, it's crazy. We definitely need a bigger warehouse already, but ton of Delta disposables. We got like all the big brands and all that jazz. And then a lot of Amanita products, mushroom products, spores, things like that. We do a ton of kratom. And then flower, we do like a metric shit ton of THCA
THCA.
flower, bulk
Yeah.
and jars.
A lot of my stores, I mean, that's
Yeah,
becoming a big seller for them.
and that's, I mean, that's half the industry saving grace, dude. Like
Yeah.
we went to a hearing for the Department of Agriculture because of the regulations, they wanted to hear from us, which, they have to do that. They don't actually care what we have to say. It's like when the FDA puts out
Formality.
some Google gosh, and then they're like, oh, public comment period. We totally want to hear what y'all think about this. Just
Their
because
decision's already been
Congress
made.
forces them to. Yeah, I don't give a shit. But I went up there and I was at, like, there was a huge line to get in here. It was a huge turnout. I was like, oh shit, this is cool. But it was just like a lot of, mom and pop CBD stores and smoke shops and, some vape shops, shit like that. And I was asking people, I was like, what would a THCA ban, look like for you? And they were like, oh, we'd close. We'd close. Like, the majority of people were like, we'd close. And like, I was asking people, what, percentage of their overall revenue came from THCA? And like, the vast majority was 60% and up. I was just like, jeez. So yeah, that's a big issue coming up here. I mean, we're kind of just waiting for Department of Agriculture to hit us back with
Yeah.
some revisions or no revisions. It's whatever they decide to do.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, they need to change the testing method. That's what the whole thing is. They want to use post-decarboxylation for like their analytical regulatory testing, and like that's just going to be hot every time. Like, there's no point in even doing that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the thing, the hang up right now is we're like, no, we should use something else. Like, there's other tests that are pretty industry standard that you can totally use, that you've totally brought in enough tax money from our hemp program by now to be able to buy some machinery. Like, it's a 6% flat sales tax on all hemp products in Tennessee. I'm like,
Yeah.
that's a chunk.
No, definitely. Yeah, we had a. I'm very familiar with that hemp tax.
Yeah, you put it in my
I had to
system.
build up reports and such around that.
Yeah.
Sorry, Kim.
Yeah.
got, but yeah. Well, what would you say? You guys kind of stay front on a lot of products. You're early adopters. So where are you? Or I guess where do you get or where are you finding these products? What's making them put them on your shelves? Things like that.
I don't know. I like relationships a lot. Like, I typically like to work with not the same people necessarily, but like people that I know. And I get kind of get in a groove with some people. Like, if we've gotten results, after product pickup, after product pickup, after product pickup, it just becomes like, like they drop something that isn't like crazy weird, like we'll pick it up. And I just kind of like trust people at this point to put good shit out. That way I don't have to like, crazy examine everything. I mean, we definitely get like samples before and then like test it pretty rigorously. Like, my guys will, do it, try all of it. And like, if it's not a good fit for our stores, then we don't really think it's a great fit for the distro either. 'Cause that's kind of what, the whole point is to be able to sell to stores. So
Yeah.
if we don't think it's gonna do good in our stores, then like, it's just not even worth picking up.
Well, what I can say, like from the feedback I've seen, a lot of my customers buy from you guys, and they feel the same way about the products you're putting on your shelves and selling to them. That you guys have never let them down in terms of products and product selection, and they're trusting you in a very similar way, and you guys are continuing to deliver. I liked Chris Tucker's analogy the other day. He said on Facebook, he was like, if you knew you could put money in this lottery machine every day and
Yeah,
make money
keep
from it,
cranking it. Yeah,
yeah, keep cranking
the
it. But one
truth
day it's gonna
is,
shut off,
yeah.
right?
I mean, a lot of people are struggling right now, man. Like, I talk to a ton of shops, and like the vast majority of people are like down, like
For
hard
sure.
from even earlier this year, and then tail end of last year. It's just been rough, and the oversaturation doesn't help. I mean, some of these cities you go to, there's like 100 people in the town, and then there's like 150 smoke shops.
Yeah. I
It's
mean, in
like
Atlanta
crazy.
here, I have I can drive to through three or four smoke shops before getting to my office, which is 3 miles away.
Yeah, dude, it's nuts. I mean, it's like that here too. I mean, it's a lot. I mean, you know, half of them don't really know what the hell they're doing. It's a lot of like, oh, this is a low barrier of entry. Let me throw some money at this.
Yeah.
Shove a dude in there who like kind of knows what's up and see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. And this is something I've meant to ask you. How do you guys, you know, staffing, I know, is a huge problem for stores. And that's also why they may not want to open.
Yeah, it's rough. I mean, we like to run at least two people at a time in a store, unless it's like from 8 a.m. to 10 and sometimes up to 12, just if the dude or lady that's there can like swing it, you know, like,
yeah.
People get really good. It's like a dance, you know, mm-hmm. just like rolling around, pulling disposables off the wall and handing them to customers and shit.
And have a quick point of sale too for that.
But yeah, I mean, it is rough. We got a lot of people though, like who'll work. I mean, we got a crazy good like core.
It helps having those stores kind of close.
Yeah, it does. So it definitely
helps. If there is that overlap.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, we got a lot of people, like, in admin positions who can fill in, too, between, like, me, Christine, Adrian, Kim, my brother, all that.
Yeah, you gotta...
Yeah, getting employees sucks. Dude. It's rough out here. I mean, like, it blows my mind sometimes.
How most of your people? Just people that shop in the store, or do they just...
Yeah, it's a lot of people that shop in the store, and like we've made our application process really easy. Like if you go to our website, shout out Alfredo, he's the best website dude on the market. But he made a form on there where essentially it's just like apply here, and then, you know, it's basic information and then a place to upload your resume. And that just makes it really easy. It all, you know, floods in, and we get a ton of applications. I mean, but sure. We're picky.
Yeah.
But at least we try to be.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't want to mess up the vibe.
You know? Yeah, no. And you want someone, you know, that can become knowledgeable on the product.
Yeah. And you don't even have
to interact well with customers.
Yeah. You don't have to know really shit. It helps, you know,
if
you kind of know what's, you know, you got a baseline of mm-hmm. when walking in here, but like no one's going to learn coils. Like it's over. Like no one buys tanks enough anymore for a person to be able to learn coils in a few months. Like it's just like, how long you been here? You probably know about coils. Unless you like hammer it in them, you know,
but
that's a lot. They can,
it's hard whenever.
But our coils are like, the customer can walk up to the shit in most of our stores. Like
they've got signage and everything, right?
Yeah, we can just be like, which one of these boxes is yours? Are you sure? Please go get your tank.
Yeah.
I love when they come in and we're like, what tank do you have? And they're like, it looks like that one or that one. It's like, oh, yeah, they all do, though.
Yeah, they all look kind of similar. You guys have done, if I remember correctly, a good job of having signage directing customers at exactly what area of the store they need for their product.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very like area driven. Like there's definitely, you know, like shelves unique to certain product types. Like we'll have, you know, our D8 sections are huge. Like our just hemp sections, they're 8 to 12 feet long by 6-8 feet. And it's just like flooded with shit. We're constantly having to move shit around, pull shit off. You know, we do grab bags to just get rid of stuff.
Yeah.
We're constantly just like, we don't want to even clearance this. We're just going to give it away, essentially.
And that's something I think should be stressed to a lot of store owners, is like, keep that inventory fresh.
Yeah, dude. It's just not worth sitting on out shit product that no one wants anymore. Like, you can either break even on it, or you can just, like, let it go and then sell something else for margins that would, you know, encapsulate your cost on that item. Well, it's like imagine you sold, like, dirt or gravel, you know? Like, when you get down to the bottom of your gravel pile, you're not going to try to, like, sweep that shit up into another pile and sell it. Like, you're going to go get more dirt. You're gonna sweep that shit out of the way. And you're just gonna put the dirt back where the dirt goes, and like
and
screw that other dirt, dude.
It's so cyclical. I mean,
it's trimming.
What's hot right now? Which what's hot? What disposable is hot in your store?
Yeah, and that sucks too, man. Like it's so easy to get stuck with nicotine disposables now.
Yeah.
Like, because literally, like, demand will hype something up, and everyone's like, this is it. It's going to kill the pulse. And then, like, it doesn't.
The new Bluetooth vapes.
Yeah, dude. Oh, dude.
Yeah. I mean, it changes all the time. You know, 2 years ago, what is hot?
I just got some insane ones from demand.
Now that's on clearance everywhere, you know.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah.
It's also sick.
We did so well with Escobar, too. It was insane. That's how it was. It was Hyde, Esco, Elf.
Yeah.
At least around here. And
now I think all three, you know, all three are either should be in.
Yeah, I mean, right now, it's, for us at least, it's Geek, Veho Supercharge, or it's Pulse, Veho Supercharge, TN9000 Raz.
Yeah.
All the Kato 5Ks. Lost Mary. And 50 bar. We sell a ton of 50 bar.
50 bar.
Shout out 50 bar, bro. Strawberry donut milk.
Very similar to what I hear from a lot of my stores.
Yeah.
Those are kind of the hot ones. And when honestly, when I'm out with friends, that's what they're vaping. I mean, I'm on a Raz 9000 right now.
Yeah, I mean, I got, dude.
Shout out Watermelon Ice.
Shout out Distro Desk.
You're getting all types of flavors all day long.
Yeah, you know. I love these new Lost Marys.
What flavor is that?
Straw melon peach. It's amazing.
Good stuff.
I hate that I use these, but
I mean, I like so them. I never, when I started vaping, it was through disposables. And honestly, I started vaping a ton. You know, I vaped a little bit. I had a Juul back in the day. And then when I kind of got into this side of the industry, you know, naturally you go to Champs and you come home with a year's supply.
Yeah,
so it's impossible not to. But I've always, I kind of grew up in this industry on disposables. I don't do any of like the custard stuff. I'm a watermelon ice guy.
I love custard stuff, dude. This, have you seen this?
No, what is it? What do you got there?
Grumpy Old Bastard.
Okay, nice.
It's like a butterscotch. It's so loud. You can vape this and it will permeate the air for a good 15-20 minutes. It's amazing. I love it. We've sold a lot of it over the years.
Well, cool, man. Well, for the people that want to, you know, reach out to SAC, you know, order through you guys, what's the best way to get in contact?
You can email me at sam@sacwholesale.net, or you can go to sacwholesale.net and hit the wholesale tab at the top and then put in a wholesale application. Hit me up on Facebook, or you can just find someone who knows me and get my number. Yeah, really that, man. Payment's really easy, thanks to you.
Thank you.
You know, you can order off the website, you can call me, you can text me.
You still the one packaging everything, or you got some help back there?
I mean, I'm doing whatever I got to do right now. We need warehouse people like really bad. Right now it's just like me, Adrian, Christine, and then whoever is available.
It's
nuts.
Well, I mean, that's what happens when you grow. So, yeah. I mean, it's been great to see you guys go from starting to, you know, doing very, very well on the wholesale side in such a short period.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy. I thought it was going to be way more of a slow roll than this, but it was just like February, like March, we doubled February. Like,
yeah, no, I mean, I one day I saw one volume, and the next day I saw double volume. Yeah. So I'm like, dang, man, y'all are doing well over there. So
yeah, it's crazy.
Good for you guys. I mean, there's you guys are obviously doing something right, and like we kind of said and hit on, you know, old school vapors and their, you know, their five locations have been really, really successful. I highly suggest some of you other shop owners reaching out to Sam, you know, getting with him, letting him guide you with products. I mean, the man, I told him at one point I was looking at a shop. He's like, I got you. I'll outfit the whole store. So whether a new store, an existing store, You're already selling Delta products. You want to get into selling Delta products. Sack and Sam are definitely the people to talk to.
And if anybody needs help with like in-store shit, like how to display things and, you know, stock amounts you should have and stuff like that, like I can help with all that. I mean,
I implore all of you guys to go look at old school vapors, like Google pages, and they'll have, you can see pictures of inside. Yeah. And it's such a clean store. It looks really, really nice. That was the first thing I noticed when I first saw Old School on Facebook, you know, 2-3 years ago when I wanted them to become a client. I'm like, these are really clean stores. It's something I want to be a part of. Yeah. So, well, awesome, Sam. We'll definitely appreciate the time today. And everyone have a great rest of your day. And thanks for listening.
Thanks, Kermit. Bye.